Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Brian and Roxanne Coyne out of Georgetown, Texas. I guess that's just a little bit north Austin, somewhere up there in the middle of nowhere in Texas, you know. They're lost out there, but they're happy out there because it's one of those places in this world where it's a little quieter than all that crazy stuff going on out there in the East Coast and the West Coast. And are there communists in your city yet, guys?
They're trying to creep in, but no, not are too they? Many.
I don't know. We got
we
Austin.
Left Los Angeles, so we left the communists to put behind.
Well, you're pretty close to, you know, to Austin. And Austin, I'm sure those if the communists are going to take over the East Coast, West Coast, Austin's next, right? I mean, that's a little island in the middle of the country that these people can come to. And, you know, it's always been for us, you know, Austin, that area has always been called weird. Make it, you know, keep it weird, right? So it's just getting weirder. That's all.
It's getting weirder every day.
Every day. So welcome to the show, guys. I'm glad you guys could make it with us. Interesting conversation with you because you come from a world that not everybody comes from, which is the artistic world. And coming from an artistic background, you have to have a completely different perspective to life than guys who get up and crunch numbers every day for a living. Your brain works in a different manner. I know I just took a quiz not 5 minutes ago about tone deafness. And they play you all these different things in music, and you have to be able to pick out tones and things, and if it's dissonant or not dissonant, all this. It was an interesting quiz. I made 15 out of 15 right, which I was surprised in, because I'm not a natural musician. I'm not a natural artist. Just basically, you know, do it, love it, got trained in it. But for you guys, this is your living. So let's talk about growing up as an artist, having your career as being artist, and then at what point in your life, at what age, at what point, at what crossroads, does something come back and go, wait a minute, we can't live on art forever, you know? Or there needs to be more, because you went in and looked for something different. So tell us where that transition occurred.
You want to go for it?
Well, it just, basically, we're gig workers. So like in the film community, and she does voiceover, you go from job to job to job, and you're always employed after your job is done. So
You're unemployed after your job is done.
And then you have to go look for the next one. And so it's a constant rat race back and forth. And we were very involved in that. And, you know, it's always chasing the next thing, chasing the next job, chasing the next deal. And it basically, I said this before, a few years back, Roxanne just came running into my office screaming with her hair on fire and said, if we don't do something about our retirement right now, I'm never going to be able to retire. And that was the case. I have a pension. She didn't have one. Mine isn't that huge, and it wasn't doing very well. And we decided, you know, we got to get on the stick, and we got to do something that's going to provide for some kind of retirement. Neither one of us wanted to work until we were 80 years old. And that was the kind of the road we were on. So we said, let's start looking around.
Yeah, I think, and for me, I wasn't brought up in a family of artists at all. Brian has been a tremendously gifted artist since he was small, and always knew that that was his path. But for me, no, I was following a traditional route, went to college, and but for some reason, I couldn't envision my life after college in one steady job doing anything. It just didn't work for me, and I was overseas in Europe. at a, you know, overseas program. And just, I was taking art appreciation classes and film appreciation classes. And one morning I woke up and I thought, my life is in the film industry. And I had never thought about it before, but it was a very clear moment of decision. And from that point on, I decided I would work in the film industry in some capacity. I didn't even know how. And, you know, kind of just went from there. I definitely found my place. I've done a lot of different things in the industry. But like Brian said, this is gig work. And we weren't very good about planning for the future. So that's what led us to want to invest in real estate. Rather late in life.
Having lived in that gig economy your entire life, I see now that the younger culture is really embracing the gig economy. It's almost like every job is turning into that, you know, work a while, quit a while, work a while, quit a while kind of environment. How do you see that working out for all these guys over the long term?
Well,
we're worried about it. Our son is just finishing a graduate master's program and he's almost done. And he's freaking out because he's in finance and a lot of the jobs that are available out there, entry-level jobs are getting just decimated by AI. That's where AI is affecting most of the work in the economy, especially in his field. It's taken out jobs that he could get coming out of college. So it's a different world out there.
And for our daughter, Veronica, his sister, she is an artist through and through. So is Adam, her brother, but he's trying to follow a traditional path of, you know, working at a job, I guess. And Veronica is a makeup artist and she's a special effects and, you know, makeup artist and a gifted costumer, designer. I mean, she's tremendously talented. And she right now is trying to avoid getting a J-O-B so that she can be available to do the gig work that she wants. So I think for both of these kids, I do hope that they will see the light and decide to become real estate investors so that they can do what their heart desires, whatever
you
that
know,
may be.
That's interesting. We'll get into that a little bit more. We've got a long show here, so I wanted to do two things. One was to ask you about AI in your environment, because it seems to me like you're a voiceover expert. Seems to me, AI, they've already cloned me. They can make somebody sound just like me. They can make pictures of me. I mean, I've seen some of the stuff they put together. It's like, you know, Del, we don't need you anymore. Go away. We just copy you, you know? So how do you see that in your industry? Is that going to be problematic somewhere along the line?
It already is. In the last year and a half, I've seen my client base and my receivables shrink by over 50%, Del. It's devastating, absolutely devastating. So it's now the real estate investment journey has taken on a whole new importance because I'm suffering. My career is getting killed here. And frankly, at 62, I don't know that I really have it in me to crank the wheels harder and spin faster and try to drum up more work. I'd rather put that effort into something that's more lucrative at this point and more reliable.
Like I do a lot of motion graphics and editing stuff and special effects post-production work. And that's also, it's just becoming so much cheaper and easier just to do with AI. So there's less work there too. So it's affecting the world. I mean, I don't know if it's going to, you know, it's also creating other opportunities. Nobody knows how this is going to shake out. But it definitely is having an effect all over the business in a lot of ways that are kind of predictable. So it's not great.
The other day I had a member whose son, the member's a super successful real estate investor. The son has already even done an apartment complex and at a young age. So you probably know who he is. I'm not going to give their name out without permission. But already succeeded in turning an apartment. And he decided to go and get a job at one of these Marcus and Millichap real estate firms or one of, not that one, but another one somewhere, one of them. And he was going to be like, they start all kids as an under, what do they call them? A data analyst, right? And so they get him out there deciding what properties are worth, writing prospectus and the whole bit. And it's really interesting because he created a bunch of bots that could do all that. And he said he was doing 2 days to 3 days worth of work in an hour in the morning of the first day. 2 months later, they let him and three other guys go. That's what's going to happen in this world. We're going to take a short break. Be right back with Brian, Roxanne Coyne, and the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Brian and Roxanne Coyne out of Georgetown, Texas. I keep forgetting the name of that. Guys, as we went to break, Roxanne had made a very important point I wanted to circle back and pick up again. And she was saying, you know, even though this gig economy type work that you guys have done your whole life is getting more difficult to find, she had another feeling about it, and that was, hey, do I even want to push the rock anymore? I did a whole show on this yesterday about how for 35 years I've been doing these radio shows and teaching, and the whole conversation has been, God, I'm living this life of quiet desperation. I'm tired of pushing this rock. I want to get out from underneath this struggle. I just want to relax and enjoy my life and do the things in life I want to do. But now those same people are being faced with, wow, that's really a nice belief to have. I'd like to become financially free so I could do what I want to do. But my gosh, I'm worried I'm even going to have a job. It's like, boom, punch me in the face, change my whole point of view. So it's a two-edged sword. And I think, Roxanne, you brought that up. It's like, okay, we just started thinking about retirement. And then we're worried about, can we even get a job, you know, type of a situation I think is out there right now. Would you agree with that?
We don't know. The ground is shifting and it's not clear where things are going to settle. And it's tough to find work. You know, our son is struggling to think where he's going to land, and he's just out of school. And I'm really at the end of my career and wondering, well, what else can I do to, you know, make it a couple more years before the real estate is really supporting us as we plan?
Well, you're getting at that point where you're starting to create that passive streams of income. So there's really nothing we can do to race that along. You know, I mean, we do it at the pace you can do it. The more money you throw at it, the more time you throw at it, the more stuff we get done for you, the quicker you get there. Boom. The conversation, though, I go back here to Brian. You had mentioned AI is creeping into your part of the industry. Is there a push for you to learn AI?
Yes. I think everybody is looking for that. There's a little bit of a, there's been a lot of pushback in the film industry. Just from the get-go, people were very worried about how this was going to go and have pushed back. And so there's some awareness of that, but it's a train coming down the tracks. There's just no stopping it. So it's definitely a concern, and it's going to have an effect on everybody in this business. I mean, whether you like it or not. I mean, people can cry and moan and scream about it, but it's coming, and that's just a fact. And it's faster, cheaper, and quicker in most cases to do it with AI.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I was going to make the point that you can stand up as a group and organize and say we're not going to work and do everything, shut down, and whatever. And they're just going to fire everybody.
And a few years from now, that doesn't matter whatsoever.
They will just fire everybody. Say, forget you all.
Right.
We don't need you. We'll hire an AI bot to manage our AI bots.
I mean, that's exactly right. It's coming down. The train is coming down the track. No matter what you do, you either try to get on board or you get rolled over by it.
That's, since you see that, now the question is, can real estate create enough additional passive income? We're going to take your pension that you say is a small pension. We've got Social Security we dump on top of that. And now you got these streams of income you're producing. When you first heard about us, Roxanne, you first decided you wanted to do something, how did you hear about us? Let's go with that because I haven't asked that yet.
I heard you on the radio, Del. Okay. I heard you often on the radio. And it was something I already wanted to do, to learn how to invest. And I found your radio show driving off to Costco one day. And I was very intrigued, but I wasn't ready to take action yet because, you know, I just wasn't sure. So it took me a couple of years. And after hearing you so many times on the radio and then realizing that a handful of our neighbors were Lifestyles members and were investing successfully, and then I was like, I'm all in. but yeah, it was you.
So, Brian, did she come home and try to voice over me? She tried to do my show for me just to show you what, yeah. Hey, I heard this in the sound off. I walked into the doctor's office the other day, I walked up to the receptionist. I said, I need to see the doctor. I just went and got my blood test. There's something I need to ask about. And that's all I said. And some guy sitting in the waiting room goes, Del Walmsley, how are you doing? Yeah, I got six apartment complexes because of you and blah, blah, blah. That's hilarious. And that's just my voice. They didn't even see me. They couldn't even see me. I was around the corner from the reception. You could just hear my voice. That's how recognizable, you know, audio is to people. It's amazing to me that it's that.
It's a fingerprint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Unique.
It's amazing. So when you first heard about us, and did you take the two-day in Austin, San Antonio, Houston? Where did you take the two-day at?
We took the two-day in Austin at that point.
Okay.
Yes.
And what came to your mind when you first heard it? I mean, with most people, and myself included, whenever I go to see stuff, there's that aha moment. If something really clicks, it saturates and goes, boom, that's what I didn't get. I knew this stuff was out there. Yeah, it kind of makes sense. But, yeah, how do you really do this stuff? You know, how does it really work? What was the aha moment for you that made it all click?
Well, I'm going to back it up a little bit. She was the one who heard about you on the radio. And she was the one who tried to drag me into this.
Ah, the skeptic.
And I was. And I was like, some guy on the radio, what are you talking about? Another one of her harebrained schemes. You know, and I'm like, what? This is, and to me, like real estate, I'm an artist.
I get it.
It's not my thing, you know, and even if it just sounds so boring and tedious. And you're talking about what? I'm going to have to learn a new career now when I'm 60 years old. I mean, this is goofy. And frankly, I thought, well, you know, and how do we know this is not some kind of scam or something like that? And she's like, no. I've been listening to this guy for 2 years now, and then I know people are doing it, and I'm just like, whatever. And she had to drag me along, kicking and screaming with my heels dug into the ground to do this. And really, I thought, you know, this is not me. I'm not a real estate guy. I mean, I'm going to wear a suit and tie now and run around, you know, talking to people about properties. That just sounded weird. So that's kind of how I came in. She's the A type, I'm the B guy. I'm always got my heels dragging, and she's the one going full speed ahead over the next hill. We're going, you're charging, and all bullets flying everywhere. So that's kind of how we first started.
Well, that's great. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break, because there's nothing better than a good skeptic for me. I love them. All right, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back with Brian and Roxanne Coyne out of Georgetown, Texas, and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Want to build income without a second job? Learn how real estate investing can help you create extra income one step at a time with Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Roxanne and Brian Coyne out of Georgetown, Texas. And we are covering the fact that they're in the gig economy as artists and art producers. They figured out somewhere along the line that they were going to need to have some additional retirement plans to be able to consider the future possibility of not having to get up every day and go to work. And so, I mean, that's like so many other people. And as I said before we went to break, I think that is quickly, very quickly becoming the worry of a lot of people, whereas forever it's like, you know, I'm tired of doing what I'm doing. You guys aren't even tired of it, but they may take it away. And if that happens, it's going to happen to not just you, but to thousands of us all at the same time. So it's something to worry about. So you guys came, and of course, Brian, being the type E, went through the typical skeptics maneuvers, the pain, the refusal, the dragging your feet, the naysaying, the pontification. I like that one there too, you know. And what you have to do as a type A to deal with us type Bs is you got to blow smoke up our butt and tell us, you know, I need you to come with me to this seminar because I know the guy's going to try to scam me. They're going to try to make me buy something. I need you to come so I won't buy something. That's my technique. Does that work for you guys?
That's exactly the way it works.
Well, it kind of, but also I've been to various seminars and sales stuff, and so I was a little bit wary. So before we even went to the 2 day, I got a phone. We did the free online 2 hour, mm-hmm. and we joined at the first level. I think it's financial freedom. And then we decided to go to the 2 day, but I got a phone call before, and it was from a member saying, you know, do you have any questions, this, that? And I thought, okay, this is my chance. I got to cover all the bases so that I can be armed and tell Brian this, that, and the other thing. So I asked him questions. I asked, well, how much is it going to be to join? You know, I don't want to sit through 2 days. He was very upfront. He gave me all the information I asked for, and I pretty soon realized that I was speaking not with a salesperson, but with a member. He wasn't really trying to sell me. He was really just trying to answer questions. And I thought, well, that's novel. So already I thought, okay, this is good. And I had information, which I shared with Brian. I said, baby, you know, we're going into this with our eyes wide open. There's nothing you can really say to refute because this is what's going to happen. So I feel like I went into the 2 day knowing that we would join, and very confident and just ready to take notes and learn everything I could. And I think Brian was on the same page, although he wouldn't admit it, right? Here we are.
Yeah, never in a million years.
We've been married a long time. We know what it takes. I have to work on him for a long time. It took us almost 20 years to move to Texas, but we finally did.
You know, Brian, I know that feeling. My wife says something, I go, nope, that's stupid. We're not going to do it. No way. Never in a million years. And she just keeps doing it. She doesn't hear the no. There's no no. And she just keeps moving forward and moving forward. And there's that moment in time when you go, this is inevitable.
You have just absolutely nailed the way things go around here. It's absolutely no way. We're not doing this. None of your harebrained ideas. And she just keeps moving forward. There's a smile on her face. There's no yep. arguing. There's no talking. She just keeps walking down that road, dragging me by the scruff of the neck. I mean, it's like, oh, come on, man. And then all of a sudden, I'm in a 2 day. You know, so that's how it works. That's
I'm
exactly
glad I'm not the only. I'm not the only one in this world that is living with that curse around my neck.
Exact same scenario.
Yeah. So when you went to the 2 day, what did you think? I mean, aside from your absolute mandatory skepticism, which you bring with you everywhere you go like a shield, what did your brain say?
Okay, so this is rare for me, but I actually apologized to her after the 2 day. I said, wow, that was not what I was expecting. We've done other things that weren't like this, and they were kind of a little bit scammy. And the point of those things is to lead you, the point of the seminar is to lead you to a sales pitch. On this, when we went to the 2 day, like walking out of there, I felt like I could do this because it was all relevant information. They just laid out on the table, this is how you can do real estate and leverage your money into something profitable. And it wasn't, it was all like I came out of the 2 day feeling like I got a handle on this. It was like educational. It wasn't like a pitchy thing. It was, mm-hmm. it was 100% like, this is how we do things here. And that frankly, like really surprised me that they were telling us how this thing works.
There was also one other thing, if I could just jump in. It was really surprising to me that we could actually do this with a lot less money than I thought we were going to need. I mean, I was shocked that we could actually get started to build a portfolio with a really limited amount of money. And that was just such a revelation. I had no idea that it was within our means to actually buy not one, not two, we're up to three properties right now. And we can certainly continue.
And yeah, there's
That was just a huge revelation, which made it all very
the hard
accessible.
Money concept is really a hard one to get your arms around, because, you know, since you were 18 years old, they told you you can't buy anything. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough credit. You don't have enough this. You don't have enough that. You know, and you think about it. We hear it on the news every single day now. The reason the communists and the socialists are taking over is because no one can afford anything. Well, they can't afford anything because, number one, they don't have jobs. None of them work. And number two, they can't afford anything because they don't know how to go buy it. They don't understand it. You know, they think you've got to, and they've been told, you've got to put 20, 30, 40% down. The more you put down, the better, right? It's oxymoronic. Everything we do is exactly opposite of what you've been taught your whole life to do. That's why they can't figure it out. You can watch all the YouTube videos you want, and that secret never comes across. You just can't get it until you get in there and somebody else sitting right next to you saying, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm, you know, we're going out there and they're lending us the money to buy the property and the money to rehab the property and so on and so forth. And we have to come up with just a small portion of the whole thing. It's hard for people to get their arms around. So that's a good point. Anything else stick out to you guys when you're in there?
Oh, gosh. Well, some of the regulations have changed, but when you see how you can grow a portfolio in a relatively short amount of time, the growth is exponential, and it's shocking when you get that around your head that oh my goodness, you know, I can start with one property. Then we have two or three. From there, we can go to 6, 9, 12, and then surely we're doing multifamily investments at that point. And the game is totally different. This is not.
I don't want to put words in your mouth because that's unsanitary. But there is a point you're making. I don't think that we're getting across well enough, and that is, people think that because they go to their banker or they go to their credit union, whatever, and they say, you can afford to buy a $200,000 house because of your debt-to-income ratio. That's all you can afford, period. Boom. So they think once they buy a $200,000 house, they can't buy anything else. They don't realize that when you buy a rent house, the income from the rent house is how you qualify for the rent house. And so you would think, okay, we bought one rent house, we're done. I mean, we've got to be at the end of our debt-to-income ratio. Well, they come back and say, no, you can buy another one now because that one is making money. You're actually increasing your ability to buy with every profitable property that you do. And that's something that people just don't get at all. Mm-hmm. I don't even think bankers understand that one, to be honest with you. I mean, because they're thinking the same thing. Debt-to-income ratio. But it just doesn't affect you when you're making more money with everything you buy. Is a crazy
thing. That's exactly
right. I'm going to move you to a different topic now, slide you sideways here, and that is when you talk about skepticism, were you surprised how open people were about their finances when you came in?
Unbelievable. And actually, still so now. We've met so many people in this program. We made great friends. I mean, the people that are in it, and we go to meetups, like we went to a meetup last night with the group just for networking and talking to people, and it was about both, you know, single family and multifamily. But everybody is totally open, completely, about all the financial stuff that's involved. I mean, people are...
All right, well, we got to go to a break right now. We will be back. Ryan, we'll pick this topic back up because it's a good topic. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Roxanne and Brian Coyne out of Georgetown, Texas. And we've had a great conversation today about, you know, what people are going through today. And we're going to take this last segment here and close this down a little bit with some final information. And the next one I'll bring you into is that when I started Lifestyles Unlimited, I had no intention it was going to end up being a social club. That was never intended. There was no such thing in mind. That's not my personality by nature to want to coffee clutch with people and be social. But for some reason, because everybody joined had the like kind personality and interest and age group and social setting, you know, it's very cohesive group of people that all of a sudden I found that many people, after they've been here for a while, this becomes their largest social group. How have you guys seen this out there?
The same, very much so. We love the membership. We're always meeting new people. We definitely have a group of friends that are investors. I call them friends because they are.
We've met a lot of people.
Our mentor Joey lives, it's two blocks away. He's right there. We've just met so many wonderful people, and everybody's open. I have two friends. One of them lives in Nevada. She joined Lifestyles. And now there's a third member who's, I don't want to say her name, but
she's bringing people in too.
Yeah, we did. We brought somebody in. But now these are my friends. We share not only real estate interests, but, we watch K-dramas and we talk about that all the time. So, yes, it is very social. And we're constantly learning. The thing that I really love about Lifestyles is I have no qualms about calling somebody that I might not even know so well, reaching out and asking a question. And I know that they're gonna be helpful and honest. It's a very giving group of people.
It's an amazing group of people. I mean, everybody's given to each other, and everybody, it's just the circle goes around, and people are really willing to help. I mean, the mentors are great. They are absolutely wonderful. But even just on a day-to-day basis, just to talking with the people we've met, we've learned so much just from people who are in the program, who are doing this and who are successful at it. I mean, it's like, I know you've said this a million times, you want to hang around with people who are like you want to be. And that's what we find here is like people who are doing this and doing it right and making a better life for themselves. So that is an unexpected perk that I never even thought about, but it's like, it's great. We've met so many people.
We're all on the same team. And that's really what it feels like. We're there to support each other and to learn from each other. I just can't imagine how we would have done this. We couldn't. We tried. We wanted to invest in real estate for a long time. We had no idea how. We had no idea who to ask until we found Lifestyles. And it was right there.
So as you get to your age, you've got kids. Do you have any grandkids yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We all started really late.
I heard some hesitation there. Okay. I understand. I got a daughter that doesn't have one yet, and she gets beat up by everybody in our family.
Well, these guys are too young right now. They're 23.
Yeah.
They're twins. And so we're hoping they go a couple more years.
We're giving them a little time yet, but they're not quite there.
Yeah. Well, most people aren't having kids until their 30s now.
Yeah.
Whereas, my wife had her first kid in her 20s, and I think back two generations ago, and I say two generations ago, like every 20 years is a generation. So 40, 60 years ago would be three generations. People were having them in their 20s. There was number one, they weren't that smart about stopping it,
Yeah.
And number two, they had this theory, get it out of the way while you're young. You know what I mean? Let's get it while we have the energy to chase these little bug, rug rats around.
Yeah.
And let's get it out of the way, and then we can go on with our life after that was a theory that I heard a million times when I was growing up, get it done, get it out of the way type of a thing. The other
There's
one
some
I heard
merit
all the time, what was that?
There's some merit to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The other one was, hey, how many kids does it take to retire? You ever heard that one? In other words, you're going to take care of them when they're young, but they're supposed to take care of you when you're old. Now, in our society today, they'd throw you out, hang you out to dry, probably. I don't know.
not.
My kids aren't going to be paying me no money. I guarantee you that. They're looking at me like, Dad, before you die, leave a few on the doorstep, would you? That kind of a thing. So I'm not looking for any payback in any way, shape, or form down at my household over here. But, it's just interesting to see. Do people out there in this world, the question I'm coming to you with, do people think about what about their future, their kids, their grandkids, and stuff like that? I guess a word for it would be legacy, but it's not legacy as in, like, I leave a legacy Lifestyles, but legacy is your family, the money, the financial support, the financial education. Do people think about leaving that behind or not?
All the time. I think about it all the time. What are we leaving to our kids? So, yes, we really do hope, in addition to being able to leave something to them, what we want to leave them is the education and the knowledge as well, so that they can continue. Because as I mentioned before, Veronica especially, she is an artist. She that's her life. That's who she is. Her brother is too, but he's going a more traditional route. She will need to have a way to support herself so that she can be the artist that she wants to be, or that she already is, and live well. So real estate is how is the ideal way to do that, as far as I'm concerned.
So we've got both things. One, we want to leave something for them.
Yeah.
You know, it is legacy. It's something to pass on to them.
Yeah.
We want to be able to help them in their lives. And the other thing is, we're trying to bring them into this.
Yeah.
Because if you start early, like we should have done, all the options are open for you on the table. You can do anything you want to do in the whole world. If you've got assets that are paying you off every single month, that is freedom. That is absolute freedom. And
I think you just summed it up, Brian. I think you just summed it up. That is freedom, and that's what financial freedom means. Guys, thanks for coming on today. I appreciate it. I know we missed you last time. Glad to have you this time. And remember this, it's not just some money. It's a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.